The reading this morning will be from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, love the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Good morning. It's great to see everyone out today. I want to thank those who are visiting with us and welcome you back at any opportunity you have to be with us and worship with us here. When you look at the photograph that you see in front of us, you recognize it as you walked in this morning. That's the front of our building. What does it mean? You know, visitors come in, visitors leave. We have a place, a central place for people to come and worship for ourselves and for visitors to find us. For people who are searching for answers to their life. For help in getting to heaven. So when you think about this building, it is a place, but there's an inside and an outside, and we both walk in and out of those doors every week. All right. What we do inside the building and what we do outside the building is what I want to talk about as it relates to strangers. Okay? What we'll see is that we have a duty to strangers. Let that sink in a moment. We have a duty to strangers. They're not just people that just pass by us. But we do have a duty. Okay. Remember years ago, kids were taught stranger danger. And sometimes I think we have that same kind of mentality. You ever thought about that? Do we have that mentality? Well, they're strangers. I don't know. Better stay away from them. Better not talk to them. Is that what we really need to do? Let's talk about this program just a minute. It was an awareness program, as I mentioned. But in June 2005, we found out there was one thing that just kind of popped up that was really telling of that program. There was an 11-year-old Boy Scout that got lost in the Utah mountains. He's a Boy Scout. He's 11, but he's a Boy Scout. So he knows some things, right? So one of the things, if you followed that story, was that his parents had told him, if you get lost, stay on the trail. But they had also really ingrained in him, don't talk to strangers. All right? So in that story, the boy revealed to the folks that finally found him that there were people on horseback that went by. There were people on ATVs that went by. And each time, he would get off of the trail and hide. Why? He was afraid they would steal him. That's the mentality we've created, right? Is that a valid thing? It's the wrong focus, isn't it? Every year, this is data from the National Center for Exploited and Missing Children, about 2,000 a day children are missing. 800,000 in a year. How many of those do you think actually are from stranger abduction? What would you guess? Think about it for a moment. 115 in a year on average. What's that ratio? Is the focus wrong on that? Yeah, it's wrong. What could the stranger have done for this little boy? Could have helped. So the focus is wrong there. But I wanted us to think about that and try to relate that to what we know and how we act when we see and interact with people outside of the building here, and when people come in and visit with us as we have visitors today. What is our duty? What is our role? The other thing about that photograph up in the upper left, another photograph of the building, this building's been here quite a while. And you think, you know, we're kind of packed in here a little bit. There's not a whole lot of room. If a large family or two came in, where would we seat them? Do we think of the walls kind of as an artificial boundary? Subconsciously. Well, we can only take so many people, right? We can't go out and find too many people to bring to God. Is that a subconscious thing? I don't know. Do we think that we're just big enough? Is that why we're not interacting and trying to bring people to the Lord? Maybe we're interacting all we can. And if that's the case, great, and I need to sit down. Right? But I'm suspecting that's not the case. Because we're humans, and there's some things about the human nature that we're just not going to go out unless we take deliberate steps, deliberate actions to get out there and to focus on that person that we don't know. People every day, we walk by and pass by thousands of people, literally. We don't count them. We're in a car and we just focus on the bumper in front of us, right? Vroom, vroom, vroom. Or we're walking by them in Walmart, Target, or in the mall. A lot of people out there. How many people do you think are hurting and need the Lord in their life? Everybody. Okay? So let's think about that. But strangers are typically not the problem. That was the point of that slide. So we want to look at what the Bible says. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I typically will use the text out of the English Standard Version for its literal translation. So what I've copied here, you'll see that. As English Standard Version. So this is Deuteronomy 10, and I'm going to run through these, and if you'd just write down the passages if you want to check them later. If you're fast enough to follow along, that's good. This section, Deuteronomy 10, if you recall, this is where the Lord creates the second set of tablets after they were broken. What you're going to see in this section of Scripture is some foundational information that is very important to the children of Israel. How he wants them to know about him and how he wants them to behave. Okay? But look at what it says. And the Lord said to me, "Arise, go on your journey in the head of at the head of the people, so that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you?" Does that sound stringent? What did the Lord require of them? When you see the word require, you'll typically see words like shall, you know, or you will, or you must. So think about that as a requirement. This is the Old Testament, but we'll get to the New Testament in a little bit. So there's a requirement here. in the Old Testament for God's people. So what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God and walk in His ways? What are those? To love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and the statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that's in it. Yet the Lord set His heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring among them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. So He tells them, He uses some imagery here. He tells them to circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of their heart. Be no longer stubborn. The Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. What does He say next? He loves the sojourner. Some translations say He loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. All right, so at verse 19, there's a transition here. And it stops talking about God. And He tells them what to do. What does He tell them first? Love the stranger, therefore. For you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Love the sojourner, love the stranger. You see where this is now a requirement for the children of Israel, and that would be very important to them. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve Him and hold fast to Him, and by His name you shall swear. In Leviticus 19, I'm also going to read verse 33 with this. Leviticus 19, verse 33 and 34. 33 says, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. He needed to tell them who He was that's telling them what to do and how to act. So what are you thinking now? Wow. They had to love people they didn't even know. Didn't know them. Had to love them just like themselves. What does that mean? You get up every morning and take a bath, right? Does that mean you're going to give a stranger a bath? Probably not, but you might have to. You know, somebody's downtrodden, sick, falling by the wayside like the parable, beaten up. Might have to dress their wounds, clean them up, help them. Might be something that extreme, but it might just mean just saying hello. Right? In Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, the writer there says, let brotherly love continue. What does he follow that verse with? Right after he says, let brotherly love continue, says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That's the New Testament passage. That's not the Old Testament. Does that have an implication for our lives here today in Charleston? Sure it does. Most of my comments really are centered around this passage in Matthew. Let's look at what it says here. If you look at Matthew, the 25th chapter, you've got time to turn there if you want. You'll notice it's in a long section of text that we see in red where Jesus is speaking. He leads out in verse 25 about the parable of the 10 virgins, then the parable of the talents, and then he talks about the caption in the way that's laid out in the version of the Bible I'm reading from says, the final judgment. What's going to happen in that last day? You ever think about the judgment? Close your eyes for a second. Think about, what's that judgment scene going to look like? There's a throne there. God is on his throne. Jesus is on his right hand. Jesus is going to be the intermediary for all the people that are going to pass through. And this is the judgment scene, and this is what he says is going to happen. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. What does he say next? I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see a stranger and welcome you, naked and clothe you? And when he did, and when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, these are the other guys, the bad guys. Remember, there's the judgment scene where there's a parting of the ones who have done well and those who have not. I want to be in that right side. Where do you want to be? I mean, this tells us a little bit about what we need to do to get on that right side for those who are blessed. What did it say about these on the left? What did they do or not do to get in the left? In verse 41 says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil and his angels. I don't want to be with them. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty. He gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Oh, man. We have strangers walk through the door every time we come here. Every time we have services here. I can't recall a time we didn't. And a lot of times we have 10, 15, 20 just in the year that I've been here. What does that mean as a member of this congregation when I'm out in the public, I'm out at work, and I meet someone I haven't met before? What does it mean, my interaction with that person? What does it mean when I'm in the mall? someone's waiting on me in the cash at the cash register, or I see someone who obviously needs help. Why is it important? These are important things we have to understand, because that is incriminating. It's incriminating. I don't want to hear that when I'm standing before God Almighty. Gary, you're on the left side over there. It'd be on your side the other way. You're on the left side, Gary, because there were a number of people that were strangers and you just walked right by them. You didn't say a thing to them. You didn't welcome them. You know why that's important to you, Gary? You were supposed to let them see my son in your life. They were supposed to see that you were a Christian. And they didn't see it. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, a stranger, or naked, or sick, in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment. But the righteous to eternal life. You know, we've passed over that scripture a lot. That's not the first time you've heard that. I know. It's probably more than, you've heard it more than a dozen times. You probably hear it every year. What are you doing with that scripture? Is it sinking in? Is it impacting your actions? Are we taking hold of it? Some of us in the group are really good at this. I know. I mean, if you're an extrovert, you just kind of have a bubbly personality and you're just interacting with everybody. Is there a passage here that says, you extroverts, come over here. I've got a blessing for you. You introverts, I'm sorry. You're over here. It doesn't say that. Doesn't give you any clue as to there's a requirement for one type of personality as another. This is for all. It's for everybody. It's me. It's you. So what are we doing when we're interacting with people we don't know? We have an obligation. And it's important. So why? Strangers may be spiritually lost and they may need help. They may be looking for a congregation. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice? You know, if everybody brought one person to the Lord, and that's hard to do, I understand. If we all brought one, maybe not this year, but over the course of 2 years, we'd double the size. We'd have to do something else about this building, a place to meet. Okay. Is that bad? No. That's what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord wants us to knock these walls down, or find another place. He wants people. He don't care about one particular building. He's about the soul. About loving and saving the lost. Do we love our mankind, our brethren that are out in the world, and not brethren in terms of Christian brethren, but mankind? Do we love them enough to care about their situation in life? You see someone that's having a bad day, what do you do? Do you avoid them? Or do you say, hi, how you doing? Sometimes just a soft word can start a relationship that brings someone to the Lord. Got to be alert. So it's really about contacting and connecting with people. It's vital. It's vital to what? Why is that vital? It's a major catalyst in how the gospel spreads. Very few people are going to just pick up the Bible and say, wow, I got to get to the church building. It typically don't happen that way. Occasionally you'll find someone so down on their life, they'll see a Bible and they'll pick it up and they'll start reading and they'll find someone to help them. There's some danger in that. They may find the wrong person and still may be lost. They may get bad guidance. So it's important that we interact with people and find those people who are searching for the truth. That's how the gospel spreads, brethren. It's the connection we make with people. If someone is having a bad day and they walk through that door and we don't say something to them and let them see Jesus, we have failed. We failed. And if they walk out that door and go somewhere else where they're not going to hear the truth, they're going to be lost eternally, and we didn't let them see Jesus. Now, don't think one moment. Don't think, well, I'm not, that's not really me. There's plenty of people here that could talk to them. Think about Matthew 25. That was for everybody. It may be God's plan that we have encountered that stranger. All right? So we have a duty to cooperate with God in His plan. All right? God could have sent them to us. Someone could have been praying like Cornelius. All right? And maybe he said, you know, he may have caused them to see something, or he may cause that person to see someone, and, you know, you might have been the person that he caused them to see. You might have been the one that he caused him to see. And you might have said hello, and you might have struck up that conversation. That's how it happens sometimes. And God can send them to us. We can send us to them, send them to us. So the other why is, as we said earlier, it's a requirement. It is a requirement. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's a requirement for all of us to interact with strangers. So how will we respond at judgment when they ask us the question, how did you treat strangers in the workplace, in your interaction daily? When people came into the building here, did you walk by? Did you smile at them? Did you shake your head? Why would we not? I mentioned this in passing. Sometimes we're just not alert, people. I mean, I've gone straight past people. Lori's like, you see that person over there on the side of the road? I'm just watching that bumper, you know. Sometimes I'll see them. Sometimes walking right by them in Walmart, or, you know, in the parking lot in Walmart. Somebody's trying to get a bundle, you know, it's too heavy for them. Did you stop helping? You know. And we're in a hurry. We're just going to blow right by them. But you could have helped them. You know, sometimes we have excuses prompted by fear. We're afraid sometimes. Let's all say it. Stranger danger. Sometimes we're afraid of strangers. Stranger danger. We've got that ingrained in our own minds, don't we? They don't need to talk to me. We convince ourselves of things like that. We come up with excuses just so we don't have to. They don't work in Judgment Day. God knows your heart. Here's one. Think about this one at the church building. Well, they're not here to see me. They came to worship the Lord. Oh, really? They might have came here for a friend. They may have wanted a friend. Someone to help them explain the gospel to them. I cannot help them. I don't know enough scriptures. Well, I see what you can do. You can get them with someone who does. There's Bible studies going on around here all the time. There's people that know the scriptures and know how to teach people that can save their souls. I don't know what to say. That's the Aaron complaint. Moses' brother Aaron. Or Moses' complaint. And so the Lord said to take Aaron with you. And we can do the same thing. Doesn't matter. I'm too nervous. I just get all knotted up inside. We talked about the introvert. I'm an introvert. Okay, so you know you're an introvert. That's fine. The bottom bullet there. I hope this is not the case. Sometimes we don't because we're not thinking about their soul, loving their soul and caring for their soul. So how will you treat strangers? How are you going to treat them? When you walk out the door today, when the service is over, we say amen to the last prayer, we go on our way. How are you going to treat strangers? Remember Matthew 25:43. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. And then 46 says, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, there's some verses in between there that are not there. But, brethren, I'm telling you, that whole thing is connected from there down to eternal punishment or eternal life. You can't rationalize out of it. There's an obligation that we have to strangers, and let it not be said that we didn't meet it. We got to do it. So how do we do it? Real quickly. We first need to realize we're doing the Lord's will. He wants us to interact with strangers. We just saw it. We just saw it in the scriptures in the Old and the New Testament that we have a duty to strangers, and He wants us to interact with them. He wants us to love them as we love ourselves. So in that, we should have confidence that we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. So that confidence, then, we should be sincere because we know that we're going to help them in some way. And I would say just keep it simple. There's beauty in simplicity. Just say hi. And just smile. If you do those two things, you've come a long way in breaking through from stranger to friend. Haven't you? So here's the other thing. Stick your hand out there. It's okay if you touch that person. Put your hand out. Stick your hand out. It's okay. It's really about the contact. whether you're in this building or you're outside the building, it's about the contact we have with one another. So we have to make that connection. That's the lesson for the day. So we have an obligation. I hope we're doing as Christians what we ought to do. And it's hard. You know, I'm not always as alert as I should be, and sometimes I pass by people I should speak to and I shouldn't, you know. That's bad on me. But I hope to do better. And I hope we all will do what the Lord wants us to do. So if you're a member and you haven't always done what you need to do, today's time to make things right. And you can come and repent as we sing the song. Or if you haven't obeyed the gospel, now's the time to obey the gospel. So